This is Fantasy Book Club.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Book Club. This is the Internet's Book Club, and just by listening, you're a member. My name is Colton Pratt.
And I am Sydney Lyerly.
That is true about her, for sure.
What if it wasn't? What if I've been lying to you guys this entire time, and that's not actually my name?
Well, maybe you're part of the Witness Protection Program, in which case I would not be too upset with you.
You know? Would you be upset if I was just flat out lying for some reason?
Just a liar just because you think it's fun? Maybe a little bit upset then.
That'd be crazy. That'd be such a deep lie, because you definitely would know what my name is. Yeah. You have to like put your name to go to college and everything.
You would think you would slip up by now, but maybe you're just very deep in the Witness Protection Program.
I'm just a genius at this.
Oh, that's your takeaway. That's the only thing I could be, is that you're just a genius.
I'm just kidding.
All right.
Well, we already knew that I was a genius.
Yeah, obviously.
Maybe not in lying about my name.
Yeah, you're a genius, but in many other ways.
Uh-huh.
Like reading.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Speaking of reading, are you ready to get into the show?
I am ready to get in.
What did I read this week?
This week we read 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, interlude 12, 13, and 14.
And next week?
Next week, we're reading 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, and 82. Guys, guess what? We're on the last part of this book.
Yeah. We have next week and then one more and we're done.
Yeah.
So we are flying right now.
It's crazy.
Speaking of which, make sure you get access to the novella Edge Dancer, which will be the week after we finish, and then also Oathbringer, which comes after that.
Ooh.
So make sure you get access to those things because, you know, they're cool and important.
Because you just should. Because you love us.
You love us and you want to listen to the show.
And if you don't love us, what are you doing here?
Yeah, really.
We would be so annoying if you didn't like us.
I think we're pretty annoying even when you do like us. I'll be honest.
You're right.
I'll be honest, Sydney. I'm sure this happens for me to you. Some days I'm just like, what are we talking about? Some days I find myself annoying myself. But today is not that day.
That's why you guys are here. You just want to listen to us get... No, wait. Sorry.
Wait.
You just want to
work your way
to us
you got
because
this.
We're annoying and you guys enjoy that.
You
I
found it at the end.
That
good,
didn't
good
make
try.
Any sense.
You tried your best and that's all that really matters.
None of what I was saying made sense. I'm sorry. All right, let's go.
Let's go. Chapter 71 is a me chapter, so let's get into it.
It's a Colton chapter.
It's called Vigil. And the little letter bit says, he bears the weight of God's own divine hatred, separated from the virtues that gave grace its context. Yeah. Wait, no.
Yeah, you got it. Oh, no.
Let me try that one more time.
Just that gave it context.
He bears the weight of God's own divine hatred, separated from the virtues that gave it context. He is what we made him to be, old friend. And that is what he, unfortunately, wished to become.
Bum, bum, bum.
How do we know we're both going to bum, bum, bum?
Because don't we always?
Yeah, that's fair. This chapter opens with a Teft reading. And Teft, he is sitting by the edge of the chasm with Sigzel. And basically, they're just like, we're just waiting for him to return. Like, we're just waiting for Kaladin to come up. We know he will eventually. And Dalinar has to come by and basically say, you're welcome to wait if you wish. He's dead, but you're welcome to wait if you wish. But don't let yourself starve. Don't skip meals and don't skip sleep. You're welcome to wait, but make sure you're taking care of yourself. And Teft is like, boy, how did he know I skipped breakfast?
Really quick. Teft is also telling Sigzil kind of the story of his family.
Oh, it's brutal.
And yeah, basically his parents were like in a cult,
yeah.
Basically.
Oh, return the Radiance.
Yeah, to try and return the Radiance. And they thought if they did crazy things to kill themselves, their bodies would like shoot out the Stormlight and the powers to try and save themselves.
Like,
and so they weren't harming other people, but they were harming themselves.
Yeah.
And his mom, died by one of those contraptions that they made to try and do that.
Laying on the ground tied up with a giant rock above you and a candle burning the rope to drop the rock.
Yes.
His mom got crushed and died. So, but the idea was in a life-threatening situation, you would like unlock the powers.
Yeah.
Which, they weren't, unfortunately, were not wrong.
Yes, but that is not how you go about finding that out. Thank you.
Because like,
if you are wrong about yourself, you're dead.
For Kaladin, the life-threatening situation is how they came about.
Yeah.
He sucked in the Stormlight and drew the arrows toward him.
You're right.
So they weren't wrong, but they also were definitely not right.
Yeah, but his father, Teft watched his father die.
Yeah.
So that's sad.
No, he watched his mother die.
No, he watched his father die.
His mother died from the crushing.
Yeah.
His father
Teft, was hanged.
Teft turned in the cult,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason, all the cult peoples were hung, even though they
that's
weren't harming
they
anybody else. Yeah, and they also weren't harming anybody, so hanging them was a weird thing. But so Teft saw his dad die and knew his mom died by getting crushed.
Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting and should point that out.
And right before it switches viewpoints, Teft says, "Hi, Storm tonight. Come on, lad. What are you doing out there?" And then it cuts to Kaladin to show what he's up to.
Yeah, it does.
When Sydney was reading this, I got several distressed text messages. Tell them what you were worried about.
Oh, I was just texting Colin about the fact that Kaladin and Shallan are kind of cute together. And I don't like that because I still want it to be Shallan and Adolin.
She's still on the Shalatalin.
I'm even more on the Shalatalin team later. We'll talk about that later.
But the Kalan really got to her this week.
Okay, I think in the end would be happy with either. I want one or the other. But right now I really want Shalatalin more than I want Shaladin.
I think it would do Kalan.
Kalan, you're right.
Yeah. So Shalatalin are down in the Kalan are down in the chasm, and they are navigating. And Kaladin feels so stupid because he had been guiding them in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And he is really concerned.
He also can't find Syl.
He's worried about that. But basically, Shallan is able to sketch the maps from above like really accurately to help them find the way home. And so they're just kind of letting them do that. And Shallan needs to like take a lap around a few plateaus to make sure she knows where she is.
Yep.
And turns out, yep, they're right. We're going the wrong direction. So they have to like readjust and start walking the right way. And so basically also while she was wandering around, Kaladin starts wandering the other direction and hears Shallan talking to herself. And he's just like, huh, that sounds almost like how I talk to Syl.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she's no warrior. She can't have a windspren. Or honor spren.
Yeah.
Because Kaladin doesn't quite get that other spren sometimes can do other types of people, but it's okay. And so they do the map thing, and Kaladin is getting really, really freaked out because the time is ticking down. So anytime that Shallan will stop to draw her maps, Kaladin will wander around and try and yell up to the people who run around the plateaus.
Yeah.
Looking for the chasm fiends.
Yep.
And so he starts screaming for them, and then at a certain point, he starts screaming for Syl instead. And I don't know, is it here that he hears it? Or is it later on that he hears the crying?
I think it's later.
Okay. Well, basically, he's also yelling for Syl, trying to get her to come back, and she's not returning.
Yeah, not great.
And he's kind of really freaked out by it. And they keep going, and Shallan and Kaladin have some cute interactions of like Shallan's like, "Would you carry me?" and like being all silly, but kind of flirty.
Yeah.
Pretty flirty, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then they share the sensation of terribly sorrowness because Kaladin keeps thinking like, "You don't know my pain," and so Shallan is like, the shallowness that the emptiness that never ends, and like she explains the pain, and that kind of like Kaladin's like, "Oh, you do know my pain."
This is funny because it makes me so mad because we obviously know what Shallan's been through, and it makes me so mad that Kaladin's like, "You don't understand that you had a perfect childhood," and I just want to like strangle him every time he says it. I'm like, Kaladin, you can't assume you know what other people are going through.
Right.
Come on, dude.
Kaladin's kind of a bum.
Yeah.
But then they do like a little joke, like, "Let's be positive. At least if the high storm comes, it'll wash away your stench." And they just gotta keep doing that. Like, "At least when the high storm comes, I can go for a swim," and doing this, like pretending to be they have a fun like riff off. They do like some puns. Kaladin does a pittance pun. Like,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Also, Kaladin thinks Tien always did that to me, even on the darkest days, like making him happy. Shallan makes him smile and feel good.
And then there's a line later where Shallan says, "I'm glad we're down here, because by now, Adolin will be worried sick about me, and so when we get back, he'll be ecstatic. He might even let me kiss him in public." And then Kaladin's immediate thought was, "Adolin, right?" And that dampens his mood, because Kaladin is kind of into Shallan.
He's catching feelings.
Yeah.
We have a love triangle coming, I fear.
Yeah. And then he's yelling and yelling, trying to get the attention when they stop next, and he's like, "Oh, there's a noise. Uh-oh." And it's the overlapping trumps of a chasm fiend.
Great.
Bum, bum, bum. And so a chasm fiend is now chasing them down.
Yeah, basically.
And they're running for their lives. And they they squeeze themselves into a tiny little crack like just before the chasm fiend gets to them.
Yep.
And so it's trying to get them, but it's too big to get into the crack they're in. Mm-hmm. And so it backs down the hall and waits like a predator, which is terrifying.
Oh, that is terrifying.
And also the way it's described that it turns around, it does essentially a somersault forward. So it's upside down and then rotates its entire body horizontally to make it right side up.
Yeah.
Which for a movie, you can make a horror monster like that. A giant spider crab looking thing that has like plating doing a forward spin and then a sideways spin. That's heebie-jeebies.
Creepy.
And so Kaladin, he looks out at it and it like comes screaming back down the chasm and almost bites its head off again.
Yeah, it's really trying.
And so they eventually, Kaladin says, I'm going to go and run off and you need to like stay here and then run the other direction. And Shallan goes, okay. And at first she won't let him do it. And Kaladin uses logic to get her to do it.
Yeah.
Like I'm a warrior. They need you. You know. Also, Shallan has figured out the patterns to the plane at this point.
Yeah.
So she's figured out that like the shattered planes have like a weird pattern that'll help Dalinar find the center.
Yep.
So they need you. I'm just a soldier. I can fight a thing. I've done fighting before. Me running and you running the other way is the smartest way to do this.
Yeah.
And so Shallan goes, at least take this. And then she summons her freaking shard blade and hands it off to him, which notably he can touch.
Well, she is able to give it to. Oh, you're talking about like without the screaming?
Yeah, no screaming.
Yeah.
Which is
interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I want you to talk about that later.
I definitely think Shallan's shard blade is different than like the other shard blades.
Why?
Because I don't really know. I don't have a full reasoning, but I think that for some reason her shard blade is just different. Or also, Syl's gone. So there's also that.
Oh, that's true. Syl is. Oh, that's disappointing. That's really sad.
Yeah. Syl's also gone. So that might be part of the reason, too. Because I think it may have been Syl that he heard screaming.
Right. Oh, I think it was. I think we heard Syl scream. I think he clarified that it was her scream.
Well, I think the first time I don't.
Oh, no.
When he held the shard blade.
You mean the screen from the shard blade?
Yeah.
I thought you meant in the cat.
No, I meant
sucked
the
last.
No, yeah, okay. I meant maybe the scream he heard before was
right.
Her screaming.
That's a good theory. All right.
Like a past life or something.
Theory master, write it down. The Shallan's shard blade is different.
Yep.
All right, it's the end of my chapter.
My turn.
Woo!
Chapter 72,
Selfish
Reasons. So the little letter bit says, I suspect that he is more forced than an individual now, despite your insistence to the contrary. That force is contained and equilibrium reached.
Okay, man.
Whatever that means.
Exactly.
So we're still with Kaladin and Shallan, and Kaladin's having a moment of shock because Shallan has a shard blade. How in the world does she have a shard blade?
Right.
And anyways, he takes it and doesn't hear the screaming. He's questioning how she has it, but she's like, it's really not important right now.
Right.
He thinks because she has a shard blade, that means she can't be a surge binder.
Because
of the screaming.
He knows
assumes
of the screaming.
That, right. Yeah. Even though you would think he wouldn't, because he knows that Zeth has a shard blade.
That's true.
Come on, man.
Well, no, because Syl said to Kaladin that he's something different.
Well, that's true. That is true.
She said he has no spread. He's something different.
That's true.
So,
well, yeah. I don't know. But anyways, he thinks that means she's not a surge binder.
Right.
Which of course, we know that.
Yeah, she is.
But he takes the shard blade
yep.
and starts running through the little crack, and he heads out, and
he has to run towards the chasm.
He's got to run towards the chasm fiend because Shallan wants to run back and get her satchel because she left it behind. She dropped it at one point.
There is a good
and
reason.
And needs to get it back so she can draw and bring her drawings back.
She has drawings of Kaladin.
Yeah.
So for fighting the chasm fiend later,
yes,
that's the real reason. She says it's for the maps.
Well, she also does need the maps.
The maps are also important.
So that's also important. But Kaladin is running towards the chasm fiend and like taunting it, and the chasm fiend's like attacking him, and there's this fun just little like fight scene where Kaladin does a bunch of like ducking and rolling and trying to attack it. He is able to like cut at it, but it's not really doing anything other than making the chasm fiend angry.
Because it's so big that cutting off like its fingertip is all that's really happening.
Yep.
Really quick, there's something that it's for the Kaladin people. No, sorry, the Kalan people. Before he leaves, she says, good, and please don't die, all right? And then it says, he was suddenly aware of her pressed against his back, holding him, breath warm on his neck. So
yeah, there's a lot of
there's a lot of like romantic tension going on.
Oh,
this
for sure, especially later.
Yeah,
especially later.
Oh, there's a lot of
there's
romantic
a lot
tension
later.
Your aunt and mother had a great time this week.
Everyone who ships Shallan and Kaladin.
Kalan fans are ecstatic.
That's funny. But anyways, Kaladin is not faring super well against the Chasm Fiend, and then all of a sudden he sees Shallan come running and shouting and like distracting the chasm fiend so it'll come after her. He doesn't realize that it's not actually Shallan. We learn later on that it's Shallan drew a drawing of her and sent it the image. So it's not actually Shallan. But of course, Cowden doesn't know that.
Yeah.
And so he's like, dude, what are you doing? You were supposed to be leaving. And so he starts like going after him, the chasm fiend again. And he's hoping Shallan escapes, but of course he doesn't know. He figures that his only way of killing this thing is to get underneath it.
And to get into its like spine or brain or something.
Also, like something like that.
There's a spot I want to... he splashed into a pool of water. In front of him, one of the spheres he tossed shone with a bright white light. He reached into the water, snatching it, clutching the chilled glass. He needed that light. Storms. His life depended on it. Please. The chasm field loomed above. Kaladin sucked in a breath, straining, like a man gasping for air. He heard, as if distantly, weeping. No power entered him. So yep. That's what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Kaladin, when he tries to suck in light, hears weeping. Which, if we believe is who, do you think that's from Syl or somebody else?
I think Syl.
If we believe it's from Syl, she's not.
Yeah,
dead?
I don't believe. We hear later that she's dead, but I don't think she actually is.
I mean, she's weeping here.
Yeah, I think that is Syl.
Something is clearly extremely wrong.
Yes, clearly. Kaladin also. So he also sees before the chasm fiend attacks. He sees a version of himself. Which is what another light projection that Shallan drew.
And that's what saves him.
And that's what saves him.
And the drawing of himself, by the way, is taller and is handsomer than Kaladin thinks of himself.
Is it actually?
Yeah, at least taller. I thought handsomer.
That's funny. But anyways, his plan is to like I said, just to get it kind of like in the mouth, in the head. And the chasm fiend comes, snaps down for a bite, and Kaladin thrusts upward. And we now shift to Shallan's perspective. And Shallan's like, oh, crap. Because basically the chasm fiend has just taken a bite out of Kaladin.
She just watched Kaladin get eaten. Snapped.
Yes.
But then it died instantly.
The chasm fiend is dead. He did manage to kill it.
It's on
top of him. And he's in its mouth. And so Shallan walks over and is like, Kaladin. And Kaladin's okay. He's still alive.
Okay is a lot.
He's not okay, but he's still alive. And he's living. So
his
that's
leg
good.
Is badly damaged.
His leg is like brutal.
At one point during the fight, the chasm fiend had him by the leg and like swung him around like a dog.
Yeah.
If we didn't mention that. So that's why his leg is destroyed.
Yeah, his leg's not doing too great. But Shallan manages to be able to pull him out of the chasm fiend's mouth. And they start kind of like wrapping up his leg and trying to just make it like a little bit better, like clear off the blood and stuff. And there's not much that they can really do, but enough to maybe like stop infection and stuff. Like from setting him.
And he says, I've survived worse than this. And she says, really? He says, yeah, it's not soldier's bravado. And she goes, how many times? He says, twice. I can think of the twice. Can you think of the twice? A wound worse than what he's experienced. It's happened two times that we've seen.
I mean, his arm with the shard blade.
That's one.
And then when he was out in the high storm.
Those are the two times he's experienced worse wounds than this. I think that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Every time I read this book and he says that, I immediately have to be like, which one were those? Oh, yeah. It's being flung like a kite and his hand losing all feeling.
Neither of those would be great. He survived both of them, though.
Yeah. He survives a lot. It's kind of his whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's why his team loves him.
Exactly. Anyways, they know now that they're not going to be able to outrun the storm. The storm's coming.
It's going to come.
So basically what Kaladin says... We can climb up on top of, because the chasm fiend's like against the wall. Yeah. We can climb up on top of the chasm fiend.
Which is like 20 feet.
And then you, with your shard blade, can cut little like handhold and then get as high up, because they can see like where the water line is from the high storms. You can get up above that and cut like a giant hole with your shard blade and we can huddle in there, or at least you can huddle in there.
Well, he says we, he means you.
Yeah. But Shallan's like, okay, fine. She agrees to this finally. And she starts going, and it takes her like over an hour to get all these like little handholds cut and then to cut into and make like a little refuge for them.
And when that happens, by the way, Kaladin goes, keep at it. You're doing great. And she says, when did you get so peppy? And he said, ever since I assumed I was dead, and then suddenly I wasn't.
Fair enough, honestly.
Yeah.
But she does manage to dig out a little hole. It's not very big, so keep that in mind for later. It's pretty small.
It's big enough.
It's big enough, but it's pretty small.
It's like 4 feet deep, and like basically imagine a 4x4x4 cube is what I.
Yeah, it's pretty little.
A little guy.
But Shallan comes back down, and she's like, "All right, Let's go. And Cadogan's like, no, I'm not coming. I can't walk, let alone climb. And Shallan's like, nope, I'm bringing you up, even if that means I have to carry you. And so they start going up.
You are coming into the hole I just cut. Kaladin, Bridge Boy, Chasm Fiend Slayer, and Gloombringer. All the titles for him. Kaladin, Bridge Boy, Chasm Fiend Slayer, Gloombringer.
It's funny. But they hear the rumbling of the storm coming. So they know it's almost on them.
It's rumbling coming.
And Kaladin makes Shallan climb up first, figuring that he can climb up as best he can. And then when he gets to the top, she can pull him up.
Dude, upper body heaves himself up the entire way.
I can't even imagine how big this dude's like muscles have to be.
But think about Kaladin Stormblessed. Did you expect anything less?
Oh, well, no, not
doing,
at all.
Doing 30 pull-ups in a row kind of seems, when you say it that way, it seems less impressive even.
I feel like Kaladin could probably do 100 pull-ups in a row and just be chill.
This one was close.
Yeah, but he does manage to start climbing up. And right as he reaches his hand up for her to pull him up, the storm wall hits. And that's where the chapter ends. And we get a fun little cliffhanger.
So she grabs his hand, then the storm wall hits. Yep.
Yeah.
And now it's called, here's a horror chapter. This entire reading, I texted Cindy a warning and said, yo, this whole thing could be like a horror movie.
Yeah.
This section, the Chasm Fiend doing the weird flip over itself twist spider thing, really freaked me out. And then here comes the next one. It's called A Thousand Scurrying Creatures. It takes place 1 year ago. Shallan is doing the like final preparations to get everybody ready to leave. And her brothers, her brother, especially Balat, is like super panicky because he doesn't want his father to find out about it.
Yeah.
And the other two brothers are also being like weird about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. The plan though isn't for them to leave, the other brothers, I don't think. All I know about is Balat, his betrothed, and
Malice,
yeah. So I don't know why, but I don't know why the other two brothers know about the plan, but they do, and they're all in there, kind of like chatting about it.
Yeah.
And it's they're just like kind of all excited for them to be able to get away, kind of.
Yeah.
The twins are a little bit worse for the wear. One of them is clearly high on something.
Yeah.
And they are just like freaking out, but then something happened. They get a message from somebody. I don't remember who runs in.
Wickham runs in.
Oh, the other brother. The other brother last runs in,
yeah.
Runs in and goes, Elida's here, which is the woman Balat is trying to bring.
Yep.
And so all the brothers run down to where they're meeting with, where Elida is meeting with their father, you know?
Yeah.
And Shallan, before she goes, makes a trip to her rooms and then goes back to back to where they find. And what she finds in the kitchen is Balat and Elida yelling at each other.
Nope, father and Balat yelling at each other.
Father and Balat yelling at each other. Elida is standing behind Balat.
Balat, yeah.
And in the corner
is dead Malice.
Dead Malice with her head just destroyed, like smushed into nothing, it seems like.
Not great.
Because father found out about it, and because they go, oh, Malice talked, and father just goes, eventually, meaning that he was beating her to death anyway before she talked.
Yeah.
He started beating before he knew, which is awful.
Not great.
And then she.
He had to have some kind of idea before he started beating her, I would think.
Yeah. Then Balat and father start like Balat challenges father to a sword fight. Father basically immediately wins.
Yeah.
Balat gets one good hit and hits something metal in father's side pocket. And that's
he hits the soul caster, and that's how the soul caster gets damaged.
But that's gets one good like stab that doesn't even hit really, barely a little bit of blood. And then father beats him and walks over to the fire, grabs the fire poker, and then just starts beating Balat's leg over and over, tearing it apart.
Not great. Not great.
And so Shallan in this whole thing, she's in her like stunned, no emotion state that she goes into sometimes.
Yeah.
And she pours father a glass of wine and she brings it over and says, father. And then he keeps swinging it. And she goes, father, here. And she hands him the wine. And father downs the cup. And then, like we said, beating the thing. Suddenly, father just starts shuddering and collapses.
Yep.
Because you remember the black bane that Shallan's brother gave to her when she saved him from wanting to commit suicide?
Yep.
Guess who just chugged it?
Her father.
So her father is now on the ground. They think dead. They find the soul caster.
He's paralyzed, at least.
They find the soul caster. And then suddenly, the father's eyes start to open again. And they realize, crap, father isn't dead. He's just paralyzed.
Yeah.
And so I want to read the last little bit of this chapter.
Okay.
Here it goes. She turned back to her father. He was looking at her, his eyes moving easily now. His leg twitched.
I'm sorry, she whispered, unhooking her necklace. Thank you for what you did for me.
She wrapped the necklace around his neck. Then she began to twist. She used the handle of one of the forks that had fallen from the table as her father tried to steady himself. She looped one side of the closed necklace around it and, in twisting, pulled the chain very tight around father's throat.
Now go to sleep, she whispered. In chasms deep, with darkness all around you.
A lullaby. Shallan spoke the song through her tears, the song he'd sung for her as a child, when she was frightened. Red blood speckled his face and covered her hands.
Through rock and dread may be your bed, so sleep, my baby dear.
She felt his eyes on her. Her skin squirmed as she held the necklace tight.
Now comes the storm, she whispered. But you'll be warm. The wind will rock your basket.
Shallan had to watch as his eyes bulged out, his face turning colors, his body trembling, straining, trying to move. The eyes looked to her, demanding, betrayed. Almost, Shallan could imagine that the storm's howls were part of a nightmare. That soon she would awaken in terror and father would sing to her, as he'd done when she was a child.
The crystal's fine, will glow sublime.
Father stopped moving.
And with a song, you'll sleep, my baby dear. That's terrifying.
That's so brutal.
That's so creepy and it's awful.
I assume you do. You remember where we heard that lullaby before?
Yeah, at the beginning. When we first start hearing about her her mother, when her mother died.
He sang it to her as he carried her out of the room with the two corpses.
Yeah.
So
lovely.
One, great parallelism. Two, her killing her father with poison, already kind of whack, but like, okay. The intimacy of choking him to death with the necklace, by the way, that he gave to her as a gift.
Yep.
Ugh.
But horrible.
Seeing the like description of the scene of him destroying his son's leg.
Yeah.
Part of that is,
makes me not feel bad.
Yeah. That's also partly like, oh boy, that's brutal.
Yeah. So
basically, all of these chapters to this point that we've read this week were like unsettling and scary together. Yeah. So these were like horror chapters, okay?
Seriously, they were. They basically were.
All right,
moving on from that terrifying scene.
It gets a little bit less well, actually, no. This next one is also pretty scary. But after 74,
we get romance.
It gets okay.
Yeah, chapter 74, Striding the Storm. The little letter bit says, you, however, have never been a force for equilibrium. You tow chaos behind you like a corpse dragged by one leg through the snow. Please, hearken to my plea. Leave that place and join me in my oath of non-intervention.
Huh.
Fun.
So somebody wants, we think, our theory is somebody wants Hoid to like dip and stop helping people.
Yeah. Seems that way.
Yep.
Will he listen? Probably not.
He's freaking Wit. What do you mean, will he listen?
He's freaking Hoid.
There's absolutely no way he listens.
Exactly, my point. Okay, so we're back with Kaladin and Shallan. Kaladin grabs Shallan's hand, and Shallan manages to pull him up, even though the storm has hit. She manages to pull him into the little hole that she made. And they're hanging out.
She almost fails, and suddenly, a surge of Kaladin's like, that was sudden, where she suddenly gets a surge of strength and grip and pulls him in.
Yeah.
I wonder what that was.
I don't know. But anyways, while they're laying there, they kind of like look up and see, they see something like out there. Like they basically, we know they see the Parshendi.
Two tall figures and a little red spread like a lightning bolt jumping around on the plateaus.
Yeah.
Which are Parshendi.
Parshendi. In their storm figures. Or
their storm
form. Sorry.
Storm form.
Yeah. But they're out there. They see them. They obviously don't know what that means, but they're there.
Yeah.
And Shallan is kind of like freaking out a little bit because they can hear them. They can see them. And the storm is just really loud. And Shallan's like, I need you to tell me a story. Just tell me something, please.
A few times water even rushes into their hole and tries to pull them out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so she's like, please distract me. Please tell me a story. I need to hear something.
Yeah.
And So basically, Kaladin tells him his like entire life story.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And she just listens. And then she tells Kaladin that she killed her father.
Yep.
And Kaladin's like, okay.
She tells the whole story of it, too.
Yeah, she tells the whole story. He doesn't freak out. He just kind of listens and understands. And he's like, why is she not more broken than she is?
She should be.
Like, he can't figure out how she managed to get through all of that. Because he had what she and a lot of other people didn't have. He had loving parents who cared for him. He had a good childhood until, you know, everything that happened to him happened. But he had a good childhood. He had a good life growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had, you know, parents who loved him and loved each other. And he had a brother who loved him. And he had a good childhood. And Shallan didn't have that at all.
Yeah.
All she's known is chaos.
Right.
And so he doesn't know how she's not more broken.
Well, how she's able to be so normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she talks about Yasna for a second.
Yeah.
And she's like, we were trying to rob her. And Kaladin goes, oh, okay. Why didn't she kick you out? And she goes, I think she saw something in me that. And suddenly, what happened suddenly?
Well, hold on real quick.
Oh, sorry.
Before that, she mentions her brother, Helleran.
Right.
And Kaladin makes the connection. Oh
no.
Crap.
That was me that killed
that
her.
Was
oh,
me.
No.
Well, Shallan doesn't seem to have made that connection.
And also, Kaladin didn't say that he killed the shard bearer. He said that Amaran betrayed him in his lust to get a shard blade.
Yeah.
But he never said that he was the one who had killed the shard bearer.
Yeah.
So he's like, maybe she won't piece it together.
Yeah. She hasn't.
She hasn't, yeah.
At least not that we know of. But anyways, yeah, like Colton said, she starts like saying, I think Yasna saw something in me, and then is cut off and there's silence. And Kaladin is back in that like silent part of the storm with the Stormfather.
It's the center of the storm.
Yeah. And the Stormfather starts talking to him. And basically, Kaladin's asking him, what happened to Syl? Where is she? Why is she not here? And the Stormfather says, you've killed her. Mm. And Kaladin's like, no, there's no way. And the Stormfather said, it happened as it once did. Men cannot be trusted. You have taken her from me, my beloved one. And Kaladin's like, how can I fix it? What can I do? And the Stormfather says, it cannot be fixed. She is broken. You are like the ones who came before, the ones who killed so many of those I love. Farewell, son of honor. You will not ride my winds again. And that's the end of that. The storm starts up again.
And that's disappointing.
Yeah. Not great.
Ugh.
I think that I don't think Syl is dead. I think obviously something is clearly very wrong. But I think Kaladin will somehow figure it out. And I think Shallan's going to have to help him figure it out. Because I think Pattern will maybe be able to help a little bit.
Okay. Because the Stormfather says she is dead, but we heard her crying.
Yeah.
So we don't think she might.
I don't think she's
clearly hurt,
dead.
But yeah. I don't know if she's actually dead.
Yeah, because doesn't Pattern say something at one point about, or he had said something previously about, like, Spren not being able to actually die?
Yeah, they don't fully
they
die.
They just, like,
lose
their cognition. And
they
so I
think.
Think that's what happened, is Syl has, again, lost her thought. She's, you know, doesn't know what's going on anymore. And so I don't think she's actually dead. She's dead in the sense of, like, mentally dead.
Right.
But I think physically she's still around.
Okay.
But Kaladin's just got to be able to find her and help her.
Okay.
Figure it out again.
Theory Master, mark that down.
Whoop.
Mark that one, Theory Master.
Yeah. We come back and Shallan has actually saw the face. And Kaladin's like, it's the Stormfather.
Yeah.
And Shallan's like, huh, I need to sketch that. And Kaladin's like, okay, yeah, you do that in the rain.
But she doesn't actually say what the Stormfather said to her or what she saw exactly.
Yeah.
She saw the face, but we don't know what she said or any of that. So that's kind of concerning.
Yeah, we don't know. But Kaladin's thinking about Syl. He's thinking about, like, what happened to her. And they're just kind of waiting out the storm in the high storm. And Shallan falls asleep. And that's really the end of the chapter.
And he goes, probably the only person to have ever been able to sleep outside during a high storm.
Yeah. And they're just hanging out in this little thing during the high storm. Low-key cuddling. But
yep.
That's fine.
High-key cuddling. They're just straight up cuddling.
Yeah, basically. But to be fair, they're in a tiny little box.
By the way, the surge of power that helped him pull in. Then Kaladin asks, where's your sphere? She said, I must have dropped it. And then after the face appears, Kaladin's like, oh, there's the sphere. He finds it under himself.
Yeah.
She didn't drop it. She used the Stormlight. And so he's like really piecing together that she can use Stormlight now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the end of the chapter. We have a fun little drawing of the terrifying chasm fiend.
Imagine that thing flipping like vertically, so it's upside down in the chasm, and then like twisting on itself. That's so creepy to me. I don't know why that image in particular freaks me out so bad, but it really does.
Yeah. They're kind of terrifying.
And like its tail is claws. Like it has, even its tail is claw.
It's got a lot of legs.
Yeah, it's a creepy looking thing.
Alrighty.
But Shallan's kind of like super interested in them, by the way.
Shallan loves everything, I think.
All right.
He's a true scholar.
Moving on to the next chapter, unless you have any theories.
Nope, I already gave my theory.
Good. Chapter 75 is called True Glory. And here's the letter bit. The Cosmere itself may depend on our restraint. I like doing that voice.
it's a short one.
Yeah. And so this is a Dalinar chapter. And Dalinar and Amarim are talking. Dalinar is like preparing to leave because that was the last storm. That was the last high storm before the weeping.
The
2 weeks of just straight rain and no high storms.
Yep.
And Amarim is trying to convince Dalinar to invite Sadeas. And Dalinar's like, no. What? No. By the way, while he's asking that, Dalinar thinks, careful. Don't make any judgments just yet. This had to be done with precision. At his side, Navani eyed him. He'd shared his plans regarding Amarim with her. Interesting.
Dalinar, are you starting to learn that Amaram's not a good dude?
He's not sure. Like, so there's some kind of plan that he has towards Amarim, which he's been telling Kaladin I'll deal with it a couple times. So it seems like we kind of knew he sort of had a plan, but this is the most, like, directly he's acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Dalinar is, like, talking to Amarim, and then suddenly horns indicating a chasm fiend pupating.
Yeah.
And he hears the horn and says, oh, too far. I shouldn't go. And he also says, tell the other two that are supposed to go that they don't need to try for it.
Yeah.
And, but before he do that, a scribe runs up. And, well, they go and tell them. But then a scribe runs up and basically says, hey, something's happening on the plains. Come down, look. And so they take off. By the way, Dalinar and Amarim are just arguing about whether or not Sadeas should be invited.
Yeah.
Sadeas really doesn't want Amarim invited.
Yeah.
Which I agree with. But,
I agree too.
Sadeas, the scribe that runs up, Dalinar assumes that Sadeas sending troops to try and get the chasm fiend.
Yeah.
But no, he came out of, it says, no, sir, not, I mean, he came out of the chasm. And Dalinar says, who? And she goes, Stormblessed. And then it cuts ahead, and Dalinar had sprinted the entire way to the edge of the chasms and finds a whole horde of people.
Yeah, mostly the Bridge Four people.
All crowded around, and he breaks through, and he just finds Kaladin. And Kaladin stands up and salutes, and Dalinar says, that has to be the most exhausted salute I have ever seen.
Yeah, man's like shaking and like barely able to hold his arm up, barely able to stand, honestly.
And Dalinar says, how? You fell into the chasm. And Kaladin says, I fell face first, sir. Unfortunately, I'm particularly hard-headed.
Uh-huh.
And Kaladin keeps giving like a little bit of side things, like trying to make it seem like he doesn't know what's happening, even though he thinks he does.
Yeah.
And then Kaladin all of a sudden pulls out the gem heart and is like, I got this for you too while I was down there.
Yeah.
And
he also points out that Shallan's back.
Oh, he said, I couldn't die. I had to bring her back.
Yeah.
And Shallan jumps in and says, we didn't kill the chasm fiend. Stop being so big-headed, Kaladin. We found a rotting corpse in the chasm and took its thing. Because if they said they killed the chasm fiend, that'll raise more questions onto how they killed a chasm fiend. And they don't want anyone to know Shallan has the blade. So they're keeping it a secret. Just pretending like they found the heart.
Yep.
But Dalinar's like, when Kaladin goes, yeah, that's what happened. Dalinar's like, oh, he's a much worse liar than she is. He's like, they did kill it because he's a much worse
that's
liar.
That's hilarious to me that Dalinar automatically knew that Shallan was lying.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't even question it. He's just like, well, all right, they're lying. It's fine.
But Navani and Amarim finally show up, and Navani finally accepts Shallan. Navani runs and is protective and loving and gives her a blanket and like, fetch her a warm bath. You guys get ready. Like, and Dalinar's like, she's part of her family. Like, it's finally happened. Navani has accepted Shallan in.
Yay! This makes me vote for Shaladalin.
Does that you vote for
more.
What?
Shaladalin?
Do-do-do-do-do. But then Dalinar says, it's more than that. They knew you would return. What is it that they understand that I don't? And then Kat Dallner says, I've been searching for you, haven't I? All this time, without seeing it. And Kaladin's response is, no, sir. Maybe once, but I'm just what you see. I'm not what you think. I'm sorry.
Ah!
Which now he doesn't think is a lie.
Dude.
From what he understands, he truly thinks that he's
ruined
it.
You know what upsets me so much?
What?
Dalinar has finally figured it out. Finally, like, semi-figured out the fact that Kaladin is more than he appears. That Kaladin has this power. Dalinar knows it. And then, of course, it's right when Kaladin loses the power. That actually upsets me so much.
Do you remember what he did, by the way? Just remind yourself. What he did that made it the power start going away?
Like, he made two promises.
Two oaths.
Yeah, two oaths.
Because his thing about all the words about honor so far have been, like, be honor and keep your word. And he made it impossible for himself now, which is breaking seal.
Yep.
And Dalinar goes, give this man anything he wants. He's a hero. Again. And then it switches to Shallan's point of view.
Yeah.
And Shallan is in the bath and she's ba-da-ba-ba-ba loving it. And
yeah, she's having a good old time being nice and warm and toasty.
And then she can hear, well, she sent Pattern to spy. And Pattern came back and told him what Navani and Dalinar were arguing about. Dalinar was basically saying, she has to come with us. She drew these maps. She's the only one who can know. And Navani is like, do you know what she's been through? She is not coming.
Yeah. Navani's being so protective, and I love that.
Yeah. But then Navani, they come to talk to her, and Shallan's first question is, can I come too, please? And Dalinar just smiles because he knew that she would want to come. And Navani's like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah, I want to go. I want to go, which is kind of cute.
Yeah. Real quick, though, before that, someone comes in. It's Adolin.
Adolin
comes in.
And they kiss.
And they kiss. And it's adorable. Shallan kisses him, and Adolin just, like, melts into it, and it's adorable, and I love it. And then he laughs, and it's just a good old time, and they're, like, holding hands. It's cute. I'm a big fan, okay?
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
And then there's one thing that happens. Adolin says, I'll make sure you aren't ever hurt again. I should have realized that you could be caught in an assassination attempt intended for father. We'll have to make certain that you aren't ever in that kind of position again. And she pulls away and he goes, Shallan, don't worry. They won't get to you. I'll protect you. And she goes, don't say things like that. Just don't. And she says, I'll worry about what I wish to worry about. I don't need to be protected. I don't. I won't be locked away again, Adolin. And then basically later on, Adolin's like, you can't protect her. Let her be her. She doesn't want to be protected. Like Adolin warns Dalinar when Dalinar is like, like, we'll keep you safe. Adolin's like, don't say that. She will bite.
I think it's so funny that Adolin just accepts it. Like, yeah. I kind of appreciate that about him is he could continue to try and fight that. But he just is like, okay, I don't know why that is or why she's saying that. Yeah. But all right, I'll just go with it. And I appreciate that from him.
So Shallan is joining Dalinar and all of the army on a march, but she also convinces them to leave the Parshendi because...
Parshmen,
because Yasna was worried about it and she is too. And they kind of are like, you survived a chasm fall. Okay. Like, you have a lot more power than you should now. Okay, we'll listen to you. Which, I mean, fair enough.
I love it.
I mean, after Yasna's dead, she is the foremost expert on this now.
Yeah.
Because Yasna's dead.
Yeah.
Or, I guess, excluding the Ghostblood secrets and the Amaram secrets and, like, all the cults. If you exclude all the cults, she is the foremost expert.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, it's good.
End of part four.
Really love them.
Theory That's time? All. Theory three?
Theory. Let's see. I think they're going to go and they're going to arrive at the Parshendi and they're going to be like, wait a minute, these don't look like the Parshendi because they're going to be in their storm forms and it's going to be bad.
Okay.
And I think that when they get there, somehow Kaladin's going to be there with them somehow.
Okay.
But he's going to, like, on this way, somehow he's going to reconnect with Syl. He's going to find Syl just floating around being a windspren.
Okay.
And he's going to be like, he's going to save her somehow. And then, he's going to go and fight the Parshendi and show off what he can do. And Shallan's going to show off what she can do.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all I got.
Sweet.
That's how I think this book's going
to
end.
I like that. And we're moving on to the interludes. These are my favorite interludes.
Really?
Yeah. I like these. Two of these three are amazing. So you're first. Get us into this first interlude.
Okay, so this interlude 12, is called Lan. So we're with Brother Lan, who is an ardent in Kolinar, which is where Dalinar and all of them are from. That's their homeland. And he's about this young Ardent just comes up. Her name is like Pi. Is it Pi?
Pi?
P-A-I.
Pi. Pei. Pi. Something like that.
I'm going to call her Pi because I like that better.
Pi is cute. Yeah.
So she's he's trying to teach this new young Ardent who just came in whose name is Pi. And basically we find out that the Ardents in Kolinar just kind of are really super lazy and are like the queen, not the greatest person in the world.
Right.
By any stretch of the imagination, she treats the Ardents really, 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 really well because she thinks that's how she gets in favor with the Almighty. But really, she's just kind of a butthole. And she, you know, Pi is trying to figure out how she can stop this.
Yep.
Like, Pi, what Pi really wants. And Lan is like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Like, you just live the same way the rest of the Ardents do. Don't do work. Don't try to do work. Like, don't do any of that. And Pi is not having that. So Lan takes her off to see, like, there's this, behind, like, the kitchens, there's this giant pile of just rotting food. Because the Ardents can have whatever they want. The queen eats, like, and has feasts all the time. But there's too much food, and it's not going off to the people.
Yeah.
And Lan's like, if you really want to do something, this is what you can do. You can, if you'd like, if you really want to do the work, deliver this food to the poor people. Yeah. That is what you can do to help if you really want to. No one's going to stop you. You can do that. And she just like stands there and stares at it. And she stands there for like a hot minute. Just stands there and stares. He goes off and eats and then comes back and she's still standing there.
Because the basically she wants, like you said, she wants to try and be actual helpful.
Yeah.
And this food is just rotting and the Ardents aren't doing their job. And she, So this guy's job that got her, his job is to try and like mellow out all the new people who join.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And so when he comes back to check on her, she's still standing there, but she says, I will not leave Kolinar. I'm going to stay here and do what good I can. And he's like, okay, as long as you don't get the other Ardents in trouble. And she's like, I don't have any problems with the other Ardents. I'm going to try and be like a good example for everyone to follow.
Can we read the last little bit of this chapter?
Yeah.
I like the ending. It's poetic.
Yeah.
Here it goes.
He wasn't certain how worried he should be about that. Turned out, he should have been very worried. The next morning, he stumbled into the People's Hall, a large open building in the shadow of the palace where the king or queen addressed the concerns of the masses. A murmuring crowd of horrified Ardents stood just beside the perimeter. Lan had already heard, but he had to see for himself. He forced his way to the front. Pi knelt on the floor here, head bowed. She'd painted all night, apparently, writing glyphs on the floor by sphere light. Nobody had noticed. The place was usually locked up tight when not in use, and she started working well after everyone was either asleep or drunk. 10 large glyphs, written directly on the stone of the floor, running up to the dais for the king's common throne. The glyphs listed the 10 fools' attributes, as represented by the 10 fools. Beside each glyph was a written paragraph in women's script explaining how the queen exemplified each one of the fools. Lan read with horror. This didn't just chastise. It was a condemnation of the entire government, of the Light Eyes, and of the throne itself. Pi was executed the very next morning. The riots started that evening.
Uh-oh. So now we know in the capital of Kolinar, there's a bunch of riots and crap going on because of the queen's terrible running of things.
Yeah, not great.
Not great.
Not a big fan of the queen.
Well, not
or
a big fan of
Pi, though.
Or her Ardents.
Or her Ardents
are all like, no. I'm just going to live a gluttonous, happy lifestyle. I don't care about this. Pi is like the only chill Ardent who's actually doing like a morally decent thing, I guess.
And then Pi gets done murdered.
And then the riots start. That ending of Pi was murdered that evening, that morning. The riot started that evening. That's such a fun thing to me.
I love it. Yeah.
All right,
your turn.
This is an extremely short chapter, so just be ready. It's called A Part to Play. It's the Barshendi. Eshenai now hears the screaming that earlier, if you remember, she said was her own voice.
Yeah.
At this point, this level, this much deep into storm form, she doesn't even associate that with her anymore.
Yeah.
She just calls it that voice screaming. She doesn't know it's her anymore, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
She still hears it, not just in the one song, in every song.
Not great.
She talks to her sister, and the sister is weirdly good at storm form. No issues at all. Everyone else had issues transitioning in.
Yeah.
Her sister and all of her sister's team were already extremely ready for this somehow.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable.
Which is weird. And so Ashonai then is like preparing people for the Alethi to get here.
Yeah.
And then the chapter ends.
Yeah. But she basically kind of assumes that Venli and her people must have tried this form on and not told anybody.
Something like that must have happened. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all.
Time for my favorite chapter of this reading.
Really quick.
I love this guy's concept, by the way. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. Really quick. I don't like Venli.
You don't like the villain, huh?
No, I don't. Not at all.
I'm glad. I'm not a big fan of murderers and essentially Nazis either. The ones who round up those who disagree and murder them.
I don't dislike Ashonai because I don't think she realizes fully what's going on. She's
clearly
not herself.
Like trapped in herself.
Yeah. But Venli obviously was Stormform before and came out of it. So she should have been able to realize if she was a good person when she came out, she would have realized. Like, I think if Ashonai transformed back to her original self, she would realize we can't do this. This is wrong.
Okay.
But because she's in this form, she doesn't. But Venli clearly didn't care.
Okay. I agree with you.
That's all.
Before we get into this next chapter, I have something very important to say.
Okay.
Shout out Katie.
Your sister?
My sister just texted and said, if you're recording book club right now, give me a shout out. I have no idea how she knew I was recording
book
club.
She probably because she saw our Instagram post, you dumb dumb.
So I have now shouted out Katie. She has got a text that says, did you do it? Yes. You're welcome. I'm sorry, other listeners, you don't have my number, so you don't get shout outs.
You just have to message us, I guess.
There are a few of you who do have my number.
Actually, here, guys, if you're listening to this.
Don't give them my number.
No, I'm
okay.
Not.
Oh.
No, next time. If you're on Instagram and you see a clip of us like
recording,
because we always post right before we start recording, we post that we're recording and you see it and it's only been like, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes, even an hour since I posted that.
Yeah.
Slide up on it and say like,
shout me out
or like something and we'll shout you out.
Because, you know, we don't got much. We have no integrity.
What do you mean?
I'm just joking.
What? But yeah, I have my phone on me, so I'll see it if you guys do that. So that'll be a fun little challenge. We can see if we can get anyone to do it.
I just noticed today, this is the first time I've seen it, our theory master has been on top of things. He's updated us this morning.
Yeah, he updated us this morning.
Shout out Ian Hahn. Thank you. you are the best theory master a podcast could ask for. Thank you.
All right.
Get into Taravangian.
My chapter, Interlude 14, Taravangian.
The coolest chapter.
Do you remember Taravangian from last book, guys? He was the dude who's getting the death rattles by murdering people.
Yeah, he has hospitals where he'll steal people who are on the verge of death, kill them intentionally, and try and get death rattles.
Yeah.
He also is the one who held Zeth's oath stone and was ordering the murder of all the kings and stuff. Overall, we thought he was a good dude because he like had the hospitals and ran the city that...
And then we found out that he's actually not.
The city of Bells is the one he runs.
Yeah.
And now that's the one he ran. Now he has a bit more at the end of this chapter, but it's the one he did run.
So basically he wakes up in this chapter and he thinks, I don't feel stupid. That's a good sign. And so kind of as we go in, what we've learned is he's kind of like a prisoner almost, but not quite because he's got these guards who know everything about this. Basically, he went to the Night Watcher.
Which is, if you don't remember, is the thing that took Dalinar's pain away and like so he can not hear his wife's name.
Uh-huh.
In one of the other interludes, they talked about the Night Watcher of you go, she gives you something good and then takes something, like gives you something bad.
Yeah.
So like the one friend who had his vision flipped vertically.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing.
And so basically, we learn that Taravangian every morning wakes up with a different level of intelligence.
What did he ask for?
When he went to the Night Watcher and he asked her for the capacity to be able to basically solve the world's problems.
To stop what is coming is the words he used.
And she gave him that capacity, but what she did was she made it so that like one singular time he was going to be able to like basically predict the future.
Well, because every day he wakes up at a different level of intelligence.
And every day he wakes up at a different level of intelligence. Sometimes he wakes up so stupid they don't let him out why I said he was basically a prisoner.
Yeah.
Because every morning when he wakes up, they make him do this test to decide, okay, are you smart enough to be able to leave? Are you too smart? We don't want you to leave because you're too smart and might make some crazy policies.
Because it seems like intelligence and compassion are opposites in this this setup.
Yes.
Because when he's incredibly smart, he tried to draft a law that would make everybody under a certain level of intelligence kill themselves.
Yes.
Because that would be better for the kingdom.
Yep.
But when he's dumb, he's like finds himself crying over everything that happens.
Yeah.
So it's his compassion and his intelligence are on like inversely related.
Yeah.
Which he also mentions is not the case for other people. It's part of the curse. It must be.
Yeah.
Because there are incredibly compassionate, smart people.
Yes.
And incredibly dumb, selfish people.
Yes.
The compassion and intelligence aren't necessarily linked.
Yep. But this morning he wakes up and he's of like average intelligence.
Slightly above
average. So he's not super smart, but he's not like incredibly dumb. And so they kind of agree, all right, you're good to be able to go out and do things today.
Yeah, you're good to, but you're not allowed, they also say, smart enough to go out, make policy changes, no binding doctrine on the diagram.
Yeah. And so basically what the diagram is he had one singular day where he was like crazy smart.
Like the smartest.
The
like,
smartest you can possibly be.
He invented, basically. Because writing in the regular language was what didn't capture ideas well enough.
Yeah.
In an instant, he invented a language that was better at capturing ideas.
Yeah.
And then wrote on the underside. Basically, they came into his room at the end of the day and every surface was carved into with words and predictions and stuff.
Yeah. And they call it the diagram, and what it is, this was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And what it is basically predictions of the future, which for the most part have been accurate.
Been wrong like 12, yes. 1,000 times.
Every couple times it's wrong. Sometimes it's like, well, it was kind of right, but a little bit off on this thing.
Right.
But basically he predicted the future, which is absolutely insane.
And also predicted things like the whole, he says, after all, God is dead, which...
Yeah.
He only figured out because he was able to disguise his intellect and figure out that God is dead.
Yep.
So like we know that from Dalinar, God is dead because he saw the vision.
Yep.
Taravengian knows because he was smart enough to figure it out by like, things have changed since history. So yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, so they gave him the diagram to kind of flip through a little bit and he looks at it. He asks for news of the day and we kind of learn that the death rattles, which he's been collecting, have like dropped a lot, but he tells him to continue doing this process of killing people to try and get them.
And when it says that, it says a name has moved.
Yeah, Molak moves then, is what he says. It is certain now. The creature must have been drawn by something westward.
Hmm.
So my thoughts are whoever this is headed towards the Shattered Plains.
What do you think Molak is?
I don't really know.
Just say something
just
so our theory master can mark it.
I think Molak, I mean, we know Molak must be whatever gives the death rattles.
Right.
So I think maybe Molak is like a, because the death rattles are like kind of talking about the future and what's coming.
Which is against foreignism.
Yeah. And so I wonder if like Molak is some kind of like, I don't even know.
Okay.
I really don't. Like I have a thought, but I don't really know how to put it into words.
We can come back later. He also a couple other times mentions like these weird names that don't really have like
any meaning to
us. Yeah. It's hard for us to identify what it could possibly mean yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, and one of his, like, people who knows all about this thing that's happening to him, Adrotagia, she basically has made a chart. Taravengian has asked her to make a chart, trying to figure out when his next, like, moment
super
of being crazy
day.
Intelligent will be. And she's basically figured out that was, like, a one-and-done thing. Like, it could happen again. It totally could, but we cannot predict it because it was so rare.
Rolling in a million-sided die. Theoretically, you can get on a million.
Yeah.
Getting it twice is nearly impossible.
Yes.
That's kind of the idea.
And so he's like, well, crap. That's not great. I was hoping it would be soon because
he wants to be that so he can update the thing
the diagram,
and be like,
because
basically they think of him in the smart state. Basically, he's their God.
Yeah.
Him as that smart is like basically worshipped as God and all knowing from everybody else.
Yep.
Because of how it's been 5 years and he like in this chapter accurately predicted how something would work out.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
For him to gain power here.
Yes. So he is now there. He's on Yaakoved.
Yes.
And so he gets out of the room he's in, whatever.
Which is Shallan's home.
Yeah. Which is Shallan's home and goes out to Yaakoved. And we've learned like the fighting is kind of moved outside of the city. It's been really, really brutal.
Basically all the High Lords, because Yaakoved has like the High Lord system like Kolinar does.
Yeah.
All the High Lords have made a giant fight for the throne and like basically destroyed the entire main city.
Yeah, and but they're all dead.
Lucky for them, quote unquote, Taravengian with his medics showed up right as the fight started and was healing indiscriminately, which we learned later from a private conversation. No, he was healing whoever seemed to be winning. And so people thought it was indiscriminate because the losers died.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah. But he he gets out and he's walking around and like he's very upset because there's people who are cheering him, but he sees all of the dead bodies. And that's because he's got a lot of a compassion today. He's very upset by this. And he's like breaking down and he's really just struggling with it.
Adrotrajus is like, crap, they're cheering. We caused this and they're cheering.
Yeah.
And like, he goes, the diagram said it would. So it predicted to that level that he would emerge from this thing on this day and they would cheer him for healing them.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he, as he's walking through, someone comes up to him and he looks into the guy. The guy's got like a hood on his head. Looks into the guy's eyes and is like, oh, crap. It's Zeth. Zeth has just appeared. And he's like, Zeth says, we need to speak. We need to talk. And Terabangian's like,
one more thing.
What?
Somebody runs up and says, the thrill is at least as strong here as in Elethkar, maybe stronger. And he goes, I'm not sure what we would even do if we found the thing. And basically, there's something called Molach that is connected to the thrill, and he calls it an ancient evil spren.
You mean, no, the...
He said the
thing is...
The thrill here is at least as strong as an Elethkar, maybe stronger. I'll speak to our scholars. Perhaps this will help pinpoint... Sorry. Nergal is an ancient evil spren who's connected with the thrill.
So I guess
thrill.
That's kind of what Molach probably is,
which
also
is,
some kind
Molach
of
Molach gives the death rattles, and it's likely an ancient evil spren.
Yeah.
And Garalok is what... The thrill that the Elethkar feel when they're fighting is also probably an ancient evil spren.
Yeah.
That's neat.
It is interesting. It's definitely interesting.
Anyway.
But yeah, Zeth shows up and Terabangian is like, oh crap, why is he here? He's going to kill me.
How dare you come here?
He's like, he's going to kill me. And Terabangian's asking these questions and Zeth's like, we have a problem. And he's like, well, why aren't you killing Dalinar? Like, you were supposed to kill Dalinar. How did you fail? And Zeth says, by the way, Colin has a Surge Binder.
Yep.
And Terabangian is like, ah, so he knows about Yasna. Which, lovely that he knew about Yasna. Really great.
Had she faked her own death then, as he suspected. So he doesn't know about the other ones, so Kaladin and Shallan.
Yeah.
But he did, apparently it was predicted that it would be Yasna.
Yeah. But then Zeth says, him, and Terabangian's like, him?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not Yasna. And Zeth talking about it and how he healed a blade severed arm and all of this. And Terabangian's like,
saves it real quick.
Okay.
He says, oh, well, another one of the armor blades went missing recently.
Yeah.
So it must have been. Wait, actually, I noticed something, by the way.
What?
He says another of the
honor blades.
Another of the seven went missing.
Yes.
Okay, let's do this some math, okay?
Yeah.
There are 10 heralds.
Uh huh.
They all planted.
Uh-huh.
Except for one who was in hell, essentially.
Yeah.
How many would that be? That should be nine.
There were nine.
Zeth took one.
Yep.
There should be eight.
Uh-huh.
He says another of the seven have gone missing,
mm-hmm.
which means that one of the other ones at some point that he didn't know about is also missing.
Yes.
So do you?
I think Shallan has one.
You think that's an honor blade?
Yeah.
Honor blades are the ones that get powers, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I think Shallan has one.
Okay. So you think that blade that she has is an honor blade?
Yeah.
Good theory. I like it.
I don't know.
Market theory, master.
Sense, I guess.
Yeah. How she got it, we can figure that out some other way.
But he's like, well, this guy must have an honor blade then. And Zeth's like, yeah, maybe. I'll get it if I kill him. And Terabangian's like, no, don't attack this dude and don't attack when he's around. Just kill Dalinar when he's alone or whatever.
But Terabangian also is able to piece together. Like, he's in a slightly stupid average, but he thinks about it and goes, the Bridgeman, because he had heard stories of the Bridgeman from me. One of them will have stories about surviving when he shouldn't kill that man.
Not the Zeth,
he says Zeth cannot know about him, because if Zeth knows about him, then we lose his power, because Zeth is only a truthless, because there are none of these people. We cannot let Zeth find out about the Bridgeman, so we've got to keep them apart. That's neat to me.
It's definitely interesting. Zeth is trying to like argue it, and Terabangian's like, no, do it. I have your oath stone. Go do it. And so Zeth's like, fine. And then Zeth leaves.
Yep.
And they kind of continue on. They talk about the Surge Binder. They wonder if it's possibly Yasna's ward, who we know is Shallan.
Right.
And they're like, you know, they're like, no, it's a male. So it's got to be probably one of Dalinar's family, is what they think.
And Terabangian pieces together.
And they keep going on, and they come to like the palace, And they go in, and they're meeting with the king.
Essentially the king.
Basically the king, who is on his deathbed.
He's the one that has the bastard son visited earlier.
Yep. And the son is there, and dude is, like, just not doing well at all. Is, like, dying. And he basically is like, Taravangian, you've been a genius. You came right when you knew you'd be king. Mm-hmm. Like, all the other high princes are dead. You came, and basically, in the eyes of the people, you're already the king.
Yeah.
You've saved them, basically. And so now you're going to take over, and you're going to become the king. You're going to pretend that there's some, you have some kind of... like, way to get the throne.
And also, Taravangian drops his idiot act for this guy. He goes, why are you pretending to be an idiot? I know you're not. And Taravangian goes, we all have our scripts to play, my dear, my friend. And then later on, the king starts saying that you will be king. And Taravangian says, so you do know you're part of the script. Which I think is so funny of him being like, so you understand that this is, I have planned this, I know it, but I have to pretend to be dumb because that's part of my part of my script.
Yeah.
That's neat to me.
Yep. And then, the guy, whose name is Valum, tells his son, because he's dying anyways, to stab him through the heart. And so the son does, and this, like, breaks the son.
Do you know why he does that, though?
Now the son has no claim.
No, he murdered the king.
Yeah, he has no
he
claim
has
to the throne.
No way to, because the guy didn't want a half-dark-eyed man on the throne, essentially, because that would upset things in a different way.
Yeah.
So he made it so it's impossible. You kill me, now you're the one who killed me, so you can't have the throne.
Yeah.
That's neat.
And so basically, the chapter ends with just Taravangian saying, he says, I'm doing my best, Gavilar. I am sorry that I need to kill your brother. And it just ends with now he's basically going to become the king of Yakaveb. And he's going through his things, trying to save the world with his diagram in a very brutal, brutal way.
1 second. He had taken the first major step towards unifying the world, as Gavilar had insisted would need to happen if they were to survive. That was, at least, what the visions had proclaimed. Visions Gavilar had confided in him 6 years ago, the night of the Alethi's king's death. So the night he died, Gavilar apparently was also having visions, and the night that he died, Gavilar told Taravangian about the visions.
Yep.
That's...
crazy.
Interesting.
Definitely crazy.
So,
but yeah,
that's something to note, is that Gavilar apparently was also having mega visions.
Yep.
That's the end of part four.
It's the end of part four.
Only 2 more weeks of reading, you guys, and we're done.
And guess what?
What?
We get chicken to bite. See, this next time, we get to see Cowden, Shallan, Dalinar, Adolin, and Wit.
All of them get viewpoints.
Yep.
Heck yeah.
Whoop.
All right. That's awesome. I'm excited to read it. Are there any theories you have that you want to do before we get into ranking them characters?
Nope.
Let's get into ranking them characters then. So I guess, sorry, that's not how I started, is it? I started by saying, well, I guess it's time to
rank the characters.
Woo-hoo! All right, that's normally what I say before we start this. Yeah, we got it together now. Sydney, who do we see this week?
This week we saw Kaladin, Teft, Dalinar, Drahi, Pattern, Renarin, Shallan, Sigzil, Scar, Balat, Jushu, Wickham, Ailita, Faladavar, Malice, the Stormfather, Adolin, Amaram, Navani, Lan, Pai, Ashonai, Venli, Taravangian, Mabin, Morale, Adrotagia, Seth, Valam, Redden, and
that's
kind
it.
Of Syl.
Oh, yeah, kind of Syl.
We
sort
counted
of
Syl.
We counted Syl, but she didn't really show up. All right, the rankings this week. Shallan, Dalinar, Adolin, Kaladin. Those are the main four that are always up there, but that's the order we chose today. We like Shallan a lot. Followed by Navani, because she was the mother hen. She was so sweet. Then Pattern, because he's Pattern. Then here comes the Bridgemen, Teft, Sigzil, Scar, Renarin, Drahi, because they were all really
neat. Dude, we didn't see Rock in this episode.
No Rock this week.
What the heck?
Then we saw Ailita and Balat came next because, Ailita, Balat, Jushu, and Wickham. Those four, the family we thought were pretty decent. Ailita is the best. She's the only one who seems like a pure person.
Yeah.
Then the Stormfather. Then we saw Zeth because he doesn't seem like he's trying to be evil. Then we got Valam, Redden, Moral, Mabin, Lan, and Adrotagia. We didn't really dislike any of them, but they're all like iffy, you know?
Yeah.
Then we jump into Wish You Were Dead, which we have Ashonai as the least wish, but still don't really like. Then Taravangian. He seems like he's trying to do good, but he's kind of a wackadoodle. Then we have Amaram.
He's doing good in the wrong possible ways.
Yes. Then we have Amaram because he's Amaram. Then we have Venli because she's Venli. Then in the dead tier, the biggest dead tier so far this book.
Yeah.
At the top of the dead tier, our favorite character who is said to be dead is Syl, followed by Pai. We liked her. She did the right thing. She died, though. Then Malice, saying that the child deserved to be beaten terribly is just kind of
not the great way to go.
She has ruined her image in my brain. Followed by the bottom, right where he belongs, Father Devar, who is one of the first times that our wishes came true for Wish You Were Dead. So
yeah,
that's a win.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Let's hope the rest of them come true.
Tell me last week's top five, bottom five, Sydney.
Last week's top five was Adolin, Shallan, Dalinar, Pattern, and Kaladin. And last week's bottom five was Ashonai, Venli, Amaram, Sidious, and Father Devar.
Woo, okay. In this week's top five, we have Shallan, Adolin, Dalinar, Kaladin, and Pi jumped on the bottom of the list just barely. I really like standing up for what you believe in, even at risk of death. That's always fun to me.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate her. So I fought for Pi there. Shallan was better than Adolin. Kaladin is doing pretty good again. He's being less of just a Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
The bottom five. Ashenai stays at the top bottom. Sadeus in his highest ever position.
Yeah.
At second to bottom.
Seriously.
Or fourth to bottom.
Though I do think at one point Sadeus was like...
Not even on the list.
Not even on the list.
Yeah, but for this book, I think this is the highest.
I do think it is the highest he's ever been on this book.
The least hated he's ever been is right now. Ooh. Followed by Venli and Amaram because they both were stuck this week. Followed lastly by Father Devar, who I suspect will be dropping off here soon considering... being
dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to hear much from him soon.
Though I think he'll stay on here for a while because we'll have the memories of him.
The lingering hatred, like how we have for Malaise.
Yeah.
All right. That is all I have for you. Is there anything else we need to do, Sydney?
I have a special little thing for you guys today.
Tell
I'm
going
to read the full letter bit.
Ooh, the full letter.
I've typed it out. So the full letter that we think is to Hoid.
Let's read it. Let's read it all together at the same time.
No,
in
absolutely
sync.
Not. That'll,
let's read
that'll,
it in sync.
No, I will not be doing that. That'll take forever.
Well, I want to be a part. Can we alternate? You left gaps here. Can we alternate? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Ready? I'll start. I'll address this letter to my old friend as I have no idea what name you're using currently.
Have you given up the gemstone? Now it is dead? And do you no longer hide behind the name of your old master? I am told that you currently... your current incarnation, you've taken a name that references what you presume to be one of your virtues.
This is, I suspect, a little like a skunk naming itself for its stench.
Now, look what you've made me say. You've always been able to bring out the most extreme in me, old friend. And I do still name you a friend for all that you weary me.
Yes, I'm disappointed. Perpetually, as you put it.
Is not the destruction we have wrought enough? The worlds you now tread bear the touch and design of Adonalsium. Our interference so far has brought nothing but pain.
My path has been chosen very deliberately. Yes, I agree with everything you have said about Raze, including the severe danger he presents.
However, it seems to me that all things have been set up for a purpose. And if we, as infants, stumble through the workshop, we risk exacerbating, not preventing, a problem.
Raze is a captive. He cannot leave the system he now inhabits. His destructive potential is, therefore, inhibited.
Whether this was Terravast's design or not, millennia have passed without Raze taking the life of another of the 16. While I mourn for the great suffering Raze has caused, I do not believe we could hope for a better outcome than this.
He bears the weight of God's own divine hatred, separated from the virtues that gave it context. He is what we made him to be, old friend, and that is what he, unfortunately, wished to become.
I suspect that he is more a force than an individual now, despite your insistence to the contrary. That force is contained, and an equilibrium has been reached.
You, however, have not been a force for equilibrium. You tow chaos behind you like a corpse dragged by one leg through the snow. Please, hearken to my plea. Leave that place and join me in my oath of non-intervention.
The Cosmere itself may depend on our restraint.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's actually very satisfying reading all of it put together.
I like doing this. This is the first time I've read it all put together, to be honest.
Yeah,
I've always
like
just
it.
Kind of pieced it together in my brain, but this time, like, I actually had to
it's
read it.
It's kind of fun.
I think... I want you to theory about what in the world they're talking about.
Oh, dang it. I thought we were done.
Theory about it. What do you think this is?
I don't wanna. I'm just kidding. So I like I said, I do think it's from somebody to Hoid.
Of course. Yeah.
And I think basically, I mean, it sounds to me like Hoid is trying to help, to interfere.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is trying to convince him to not do that.
Okay.
And this guy seems to believe that Hoid's like interference with the Cosmere
mm-hmm.
is causing really bad things to happen, and you know, just it's not going super great. Whoever Raze is, I would guess, is probably also like a world hopper.
Okay,
like Hoid is, and I assume whoever's writing this probably is as well.
But he says he's contained right now.
Yeah. So my thoughts are he's probably stuck someplace in one specific world. He can't hop around.
Okay.
And maybe he's caused harm to like
it says
someone
one of the
16. Someone in the that I don't know. Yeah.
You don't know about that. Yeah.
No,
that's a different
know.
That's to be honest, a lot of this stuff, I'm surprised, is in this book in particular, because this book has very little of, like, all of, you need the Cosmere of the whole, the knowledge of the whole Cosmere.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff in the letter, you need to be a whole Sanderson nerd to actually grasp.
Makes sense.
Which
that's kind of what I assumed.
Once we finish reading, I'll indulge you in the Sanderson nerddom.
Okay.
But for now, we're still reading, so I'm not going to spoil anything.
All right, guys.
All right, listener. Thank you for listening. You were awesome for being here this whole time. You did a great job. I am so proud.
And guess what?
What?
Next week, I want you to read chapter 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, and 82. So second, 76 through 82.
Second to last week. Aren't you so excited? You know I am. Thank you so much for listening. Also, I want to say thank you to Alezia for the intro. Give me a second. An outro of our program. That is A-L-E-Z-E-I-A on Spotify. I started thanking him, so I couldn't intervene. Hey, listener, go back for a second. You're reading 76 through 82. Don't forget, or else Cindy will choke you out with your own necklace.
Ooh.
Not kill you. I will say, she won't kill you like Shallan did because.
Really?
Well, yeah, otherwise we wouldn't have any listeners. So we need you live. So the worst
she'll
do.
Are you saying all of our listeners aren't reading like they're supposed to?
I'm saying none of them are reading like they're supposed to. So we need. Cindy will choke you out. You won't. I'll say this. You definitely won't enjoy it, but you will survive it. So that's better
and
than
most.
And
then you
weeks.
Will realize that my threats are real.
Yeah, you will.
And you'll never not read when I tell you to read again.
I actually want to do a poll. Listener, I know you won't respond. Please respond.
I can tell you my mom reads them like she's supposed to.
How many of you actually read like you're supposed to? And how many of you just come and listen to us chitter chatter? Because honestly, I don't mind either way. I like chitter chattering. But it just interests me. Anyway, thank you all for listening. In being here. You guys are great. My name is Colton Pratt.
And I'm Cindy Lyerly.
I love you.
Peace.
Why are you still here? The show is over.